ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम एथ कैंटो चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल्ड द डेमिगॉड्स अपील टू द लॉर्ड टेक्स्ट 6 तस्यानुभावः अनुभावः कथितो गुणाश्च परमो दयाः भौमान् रेणुं सविममे यो विष्णोर्वर्णयेत् गुणान् तस्य ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद. Although the great activities and transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's various incarnations are wonderfully described, sometimes we are unable to understand them. Yet, everything is possible for Lord Vishnu. If one could count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no one can count the atoms of the universe, nor can anyone count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Purport. The Lord's glorious activities referred to in this connection took place after his personal bodyguards, Jay and Vijay, became daityas, having been cursed by the great sages Sanak, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar and Sanandan. Jay, as Hiranyaksha, had to fight with Varahadev, and that same Varahadev is mentioned in regard to the Raivata millennium. The fighting, however, took place during the reign of the first Manu, Swayambhuva. Therefore, according to some authorities, there are two Varahas. According to others, however, Varaha appeared during the regime of Swayambhu Manu and stayed in the water until that of Raivatamanu. Some may doubt that this could be possible, but the answer is that everything is possible. If one could count the atoms within the universe, one could count the qualities of Lord Vishnu. But the atoms of the universe are impossible for anyone to count. And similarly, no one can count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So with the blessings of Sri Jananivas Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas, I would like to speak something on this verse. Although the great activities and transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's various incarnations are wonderfully described, sometimes we are unable to understand them. Yet everything is possible for Lord Vishnu. If one could count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no one can count the atoms of the universe, nor can anyone count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Actually, there is a similar verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which goes one step ahead of this verse. Here it says, if one could count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Lord. And because no one can count the atoms of the universe, no one can count the qualities of the Supreme Lord. But there's another verse in the Bhagavatam, which goes one step beyond this. It says, Yo va anantasya gunan anantan anukramishyan satu bala buddhihi. Rajamsi bhumehi ganayet kathanchit kalena naiva akhila shakti dhamna. Yova. If someone, suppose, Yova, Anantasya. One of the names of the Lord is Ananta. Why Ananta? Because everything about him is Ananta, unlimited. His name is unlimited. He has unlimited names. Namnamakari bahudha. His forms are unlimited. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam Ananta Leela. Everything about him is Ananta. So Yova Anantasya Gunan Ananta. If someone tries to count his unlimited qualities, wonderful, glorious qualities, Anukramishyan, if he decides, I'm going to count, Satu Balabuddhi. This is childish. Sometimes children say to each other, count the hairs on my head. And one fellow start the project. One and two. And then they lose count. Then they start. Or sometimes they sit in under the sky and let us count the stars. Only children take up these projects. So Satu Balabuddhi. Rajamsi Bhume. And then it says, Rajamsi Bhume Ganayet Kathanchit Kalena. May be possible that someone at some time can scrutinizingly, one by one, take some fist of dust and, you know, systematically start counting. In case he lives for Ananta Kala, he may be able to one day complete the count. Rajamsi Bhumehe Ganayet Kathanchit Kalena. He may be able to sometime count all the atoms of the dust particles, but na eva akhila shakti dhamna. But he can never count the qualities of the Supreme Lord. So everything about him being ananta and our nature being anta, limited and temporary, to be finished through material intelligence, trying to understand the wonderful qualities or the activities of the Lord is simply impossible. Therefore, bhakti, the first step of bhakti is adav shraddha. One has to have faith. Bhakti begins with faith. In fact, any knowledge begins with faith. With good faith. And gradually you may try to rule out. But eventually, especially spiritual subject matter, because spirit is avyaktoyam, achintyoyam, achintyoyam. What to speak of the Supreme Spirit and his nature and qualities. Even the spirit soul, avyaktoyam, achintyoyam. Right at the outset, right in the Bhagavad Gita, talking about the soul, it says it is achintya. Soul is inconceivable. And because it is avyakta, it's not seen, it just has to be accepted in proper faith. Sadhav Shraddha. Srila Prabhupada, in his small books, I think Rajavidya or somewhere, explains this particular fact through the beautiful story of the cobbler and the Brahmana. We all know that story. How Narada Muni once met a cobbler cobbler asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Vaikuntha. Oh, Vaikuntha. Please convey my obeisances to Lord Vishnu when you go there. And please pray that, you know, his mercy be on me always. Also, there was a Brahmana. And the Brahmana also said, oh, Narada Muni, you are going to Vaikuntha? In case you are able to make it, just tell Lord Vishnu, ask him, you know, how long will it take for me to come there? I'm eagerly waiting. He went to Narayan and he saw Narayan, he talked to him, and just before leaving, Narada asked this question, these two devotees' requests. So Narayan said, yes, this cobbler will come back in this very lifetime. At the end of this, as soon as he gives up this body, he'll come back to me. And the Brahmana, it take millions of lifetimes. He said, really? He said, yes. And if you want to know why, very simple. When they ask you what I was doing, just tell him that I was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. It's very interesting. He's telling something which is impossible, rationally, materially. The Lord is telling Narada Muni, this is the test. Simple, just ask them this question and you will know why they will not be able to attain me. Or why they will be able to attain me. What is their qualification to attain me? Ask this question. Simple question, just like, you know, expert people know. Give one little sample and they know what is contained in the bag. Give them a piece of cloth. They will touch one end of it and then immediately tell you, third class cloth or first class cloth. Experts can just one little sample and they know what is the content of the whole whatever container. So Lord Vishnu is telling a simple test to know who can achieve the kingdom of God. I think as Jesus also said, it's easy for a camel to enter the eye of the needle than the rich man to attain the kingdom of God. Anyone who thinks he is qualified to understand things. The first qualification is when we feel we are disqualified to know. That is the first qualification. And so Narada Muni comes and Brahmana meets first because he is the second person to meet. While coming back, he is the first. Said, oh, Narada Muni, what happened? Said, yeah, I went to Vaikuntha. So, did you ask? He doesn't ask the Lord's welfare. He asks his welfare first. He said, so did you ask about what happened? He said, yeah. He said, it'll take millions of lifetimes. He said, I doubt whether he actually met Lord Narayan. Maybe he didn't understand the question. I doubt whether you are really Narada Muni. Then he went to the cobbler. Cobbler offered him a seat. Tears in his eyes. He said, please, O Narada Muni. I'm so fortunate you came back. Please tell me. What was my Lord? He also said, all right. I want to test you. The Brahmana asked. He said, I want to test you. Really you saw Narayan? Tell me what he was doing. He said he was putting the elephant through the eye of a needle. Confirm now. Okay, Haribol. What nonsense. Putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. Then he came to the cobbler. Cobbler offered him a seat, worshipped him. With tears in his eyes, he was asking, please tell me. Tell me something about the Lord. What was he doing? What was he, you know? He said, he was putting the elephant through the eye of a needle. Wow! Amazing! There were tears in the cobbler's eyes. Narada said, do you really believe what I said? He said, yes. I perfectly believe. He said, really? But this is impossible. Don't you doubt? How can the Lord put an elephant through the eye of a needle? So why can't? What is it that he can't do? Are you really sure? He said, yes. I am sitting under this beautiful ashwatha. What is that? Banyan tree. And this tiny fruits, banyan fruits keep falling. And within each fruit, there are hundreds of seeds. And within each seed, my Lord has put a whole banyan tree. So in one fruit, there are hundreds of banyan trees. Not one banyan tree. So if he can put hundreds of banyan trees, huge. Actually, banyan is a very significant, very important. There, near Bangalore, about 12 or 13 kilometers from Bangalore, there is it's called a big banyan tree. Dodda Aladamara, Aladamara. Banyan tree is called Aladamara. So there is a picnic spot called Dodda Aladamara. It must be, I don't know how many hundreds of years old. And we went, it's practically stretching for 1.5 kilometers. or half a kilometer at least. At that time I was young, so it looked very big. Maybe half a kilometer, easily. So, both sides, you know, circumference at least, easily half a kilometer. And you will not be able to know which is the main route, because each of these are so huge, and they are extending and extending and extending. So that's a very good example. That banyan tree, hundreds of them are put inside a small fruit, tiny fruit. So what is the difficulty for an elephant to be put there, inside the eye of a needle? What can't he do? We hear of how in Dwarka, a small island, there were 4 quadrillion soldiers, bodyguards of Maharaj Ugrasen. 4 quadrillion bodyguards, personal bodyguards of Maharaj Ugrasen alone, that's all. It absolutely doesn't make sense, but we accept it. In fact, a devotee takes pleasure to hear it, because he tries to understand from his heart, not from his head. That is the difference. When we try to understand these pastimes of the Lord from our head, it doesn't get into our head. It's like the elephant passing through the eye of a needle. The Lord's quality is like elephantine quality. And our head is smaller than the eye of a needle. How can it get inside? So you have to do 2 things. Either expand your brain or chip off all those things which doesn't fit inside. No, he can't do this. He can't lift Govardhan. He can't do this because I can't do this. So they keep trimming off. No, this can't happen. This can't happen. This is mythology. This is absurd. This is just imagination. This is speculation. Actually, what it meant is not this, but actually this. They try to fit into their head. But a devotee can easily understand. I remember many, many years ago, not many, but at least say 94, 95, we were in Pune in one satsang program in a devotee's house. And Maharaj was, Radhanath Swami Maharaj was speaking on the pastimes of Durvas Muni being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. When he offended, when Durvas Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj. And he described how Durvas Muni went to Lord Brahma, offered wonderful prayers, and asked him to give shelter. Brahma said, I can't do it. Then he went to Lord Shiva. And the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing so closely that actually Durvas Muni's back was burning. So in this way, the whole pastime was described, and then Maharaj said, any questions? So one lady raised her hand. She said, Maharaj, not me, but my son has a question. He was just 7-year-old. Said, he has a question. Said, what is that question? You say that Sudarshan was chasing so closely that it was burning the back of Durvas Muni. So when he was offering prayers to Lord Brahma, he should have chopped him his head off. He was coming with such speed. Then where was the time for Durvas Muni to offer prayers? He should have chopped his head off. And I was wondering, how come I never thought, I'm such an intelligent person. How come this child is able to ask such intelligent question which never crossed my mind? It's really, it was an insult. But then, suddenly I thought, this is absolutely impossible to answer this question. Impossible, I don't know how Maharaj is going to do it. And then Maharaj was smilingly looking at this boy and his mother, and he said something to this effect, I don't remember the. He said, Sudarshan is Krishna's special personal weapon. it follows certain etiquette. And that is, when a person is humbling himself, he stops. And when he is running away, he chases. The whole purpose of Vedic literature is to push us to surrender to the Lord. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all, the whole purpose of all other dharma that I have given is ultimately to surrender to me. Otherwise, abandon that religion also. Similar incident occurred when Lord Ramchandra released his invincible arrow, empowered a grass, when there was this crow who was Jayanta, who had assumed the form of a crow. He is the son of Indra, who assumed the form of a crow. Then Lord Ram and Sita were in the forest of Chitrakoot. We were in Chitrakoot recently. There is that beautiful stone. That big stone is still there, where the feet of Lord Ramchandra, his footprints, and crow's footprints, Mother Sita's footprints are all there. So the crow attacked and hit actually Mother Sita and caused bleeding. So she did not wake up Lord Ram. She didn't want to disturb him. And then when Lord Ram just understood, very angry, said, "Who did that? Tell me who did that. I'll destroy that person." Then he looked around and he looked at the crow, which had actually pecked at Mother Sita. And there was blood in his beaks. So immediately Lord Ram, so angry, he picked up a grass, dry grass, and empowered it to become a Brahmastra, his personal weapon, and released it. And the amazing thing about this Astra again was, it started chasing the crow. And the crow traveled to practically all over the universe. Went to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, everywhere. And eventually he came back and fell at the feet of Lord Ram and begged forgiveness. Only at that time did Lord Ram say, "Now I have once I empower a weapon, it has to destroy something. You tell me, what should I do with it?" Ultimately, it takes away one eye of the crow. That's why they say, since then, crows have only one eye. But the amazing thing about this weapon is, again, when the crow tried to run away, it would chase. But when it would surrender to some higher authority, it would stop. Just like sometimes when we sweep the floor, we sweep and bring the whole dust to one particular point, and from there. So the whole idea of this weapon, specialized weapon of the Lord, is to bring us ultimately to the point of surrender with deep repentance. These are the wonderful qualities of Lord that is described here. In the Ramayana again, there is a beautiful verse, how the Lord conquered the whole world, Lord Ramchandra. Of course, as Maharaj was speaking on Vijayadashmi, Lord Ram's pastimes must be understood in two ways. One is as a supreme personality of Godhead. But when you see that, then the sweetness is lost. Oh, what is difficult for the Lord? Anything he can do. But when you see him as a ideal human being, not that he is one, he is Supreme Lord always, but when you see from that perspective, he teaches very, very wonderful lessons
to all of us. Dharma Sansthapanarthaya. He established true religious principles. So it is described in Ramayana in one verse how he conquered the whole world. He says, Satyena Lokan Jayati. He conquered the whole, all the lokas through truthfulness. He was absolutely fearless. And he followed the path of truthfulness, righteousness. And that's how he practically conquered the whole. We see even Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu had conquered the whole universe. But Prahlad Maharaj, simply by following the path of, you know, Mahajanau yena gata sarvantha, dharmasya tattvamni, followed the path of dharma. He was fearless and he could speak straight to Hiranyakashipu. The whole universe was fearing Hiranyakashipu. The only person Hiranyakashipu feared was Prahlad. So Satyena Lokan Jayati. How the path of righteousness gives tremendous power and strength to a person. Because the whole power of the Lord and the whole His lineage of the great souls, the blessings of the great souls, come for one who is treading that path of Mahajanas. So Satyena Lokan Jayati Dinan Danena Raghava. How did he conquer the Dina, those who were poverty stricken? By Dana, by charity, by giving them their needs. As an ideal leader, whoever was in need of anything, by providing that in charity, he actually conquered everyone. Then, Guruhu Shushrushaya Veera. How did he conquer his elders? How did he conquer all the great rishis and sages? By Shushrushaya, by accepting what they had to offer in terms of their instructions and their blessings. Guruhu Shushrushaya Veera Dhanusha Yudhishastravan. And how did he conquer those who went against the religious principles like Ravana? Not by compromise, as some leaders do in today's, you know, when somebody is captured and kidnapped and taken away, you send some money and compromise, chhod do ba, release that fellow. No compromise. Actually, a unrivaled punishment, unparalleled, Prabhupada writes, unparalleled punishment in the history of mankind. He took to, for that offense, he punished him. And Shastravan, his punishment was also perfect, not too much, not too less. Sometimes conditioned souls, when they want to punish, they go beyond, more than what is necessary. Punishment is not meant for destruction, it is meant for correction. Or sometimes out of cowardliness, they don't take action. Because of the other person is very, very powerful. How can we do that? But Lord Ramchandra, whoever that personality was, he punished him exactly. In fact, it is described, after he killed Ravana, he told Vibhishan, you perform the last rites. Vibhishan hesitated. He said, no, he was such a rascal. He did all kinds of nonsense. He doesn't deserve this. He says, no. He was a king. He's a brahmana. He's elder to both of us. So he must be given, after death, rivalry should be finished. Rivalry was only with that, hate the sin, not the sinner. That particular thing was punished. That's all. Now we should not have any grudge over that person. Do the final rites. In fact, after killing Vali, it is described, he cried along with Tara and Angad, thinking, why I had to do this? What can I do? What can I do? I had to do this. I had to do this. I did exactly what was necessary. With great reluctance. Now that he was very happy to punish. He did just what was necessary. It's just like if a man develops diabetes and his whole leg is gangrenous. And the only solution for the man to survive is we have to amputate the leg. So with great reluctance, the doctor tells the patient, what can I do? I wish I could bring back the leg properly and cure. But it is absolutely incurable. And therefore, with great reluctance, I have to cut off as much as is necessary so that the whole body can survive. For your benefit. With that kind of reluctance, just as much as necessary. Similarly, the crow. He punished as much as necessary. Not more, not less. So only by hearing from proper sources, with faith, can we actually understand these pastimes of the Lord. One time Prabhupada was asked by a scholar, well-read scholar, he was talking with him, how come this Acharya say like this and this Acharya say like that and that Acharya says like this? And it's a fact. It was totally contradictory statements. Absolutely contradictory. As it says here, just see, materially it doesn't make sense. Now, he's telling one controversy here. The Lord's glorious activities referred to in this connection took place after his personal bodyguards Jayan Vijay became Daityas, having been cursed by the great sages Sanak, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar and Sanandan. Jay as Hiranyaksha had to fight with Varahadev. And that same Varahadev is mentioned in regard to Raivata. Now, Raivata millennium is the fifth Manu. And the fighting, however, took place during the reign of the first Manu, Swayambhu Manu. Now, how is it? First Manu, and Manvantara means 72 Divya Yugas. 43,20,000 into 2 into 72 is one Manvantara. Therefore, according to some authorities, there are two Varahas. According to others, however, Varaha appeared during the regime of Swayambhu Manu and stayed in the water until that of Raivata Manu. Putting all Shaubari Manish to shame. Staying in water for four Manvantaras. And then suddenly appeared, did the last final part of the Leela and went back. Anyone else would have, why mention it? Don't even mention it, unnecessarily it disturbs people's faith. But Prabhupada surprisingly says, some say like this and some say like this. Hari Bol. And how does he accommodate it? he says both and then says, some may doubt that this could be possible. I know the doubt will come. But the answer is that everything is possible. We just have to accept. What is impossible for the Lord? If something is impossible for the Lord, that means either you don't understand the Leela or He is not the Lord. How can something be impossible for the Lord? These dualities arise only in the conditioned stage of life. Dualities means conditioned life. One who rises above these dualities, about the dvandvas, and understands the absolute nature of the Lord, understands that everything is absolutely possible. That is the realm of the absolute. That is why we are reading about this beautiful pastime, Damodarashtaka, during month of Kartik. Now, how is it possible that the Lord was being tied? Child, small child, 2, 3, 4 year old probably, child is tied by Mother Yashoda with a rope. How much rope does it require to tie a child's belly? You just, easy, you just tie. But it was just 2 finger too short. I was, first time I heard this pastime, many years ago. I was trying to understand. Very simple. When you try to bring the two ends, it may fall short. Take one round lesser and tie it. You know, sometimes we want to make sure that loose ends are not there. So bring the last, and then it falls short. Yashoda should have some sense. You know, she should have just taken one round back. Extra rope is there, tie it. But if she tried that, it would fall still 2 feet, 2 finger too short. And it's not that Krishna was becoming fat and fat, as Maharaj was expressing the other day. He was expanding his belly. Not that the rope was shortening, but somehow, how could it happen? Nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. That is why, in the third verse, Satyavrat Muni is telling the secret. How to actually accept these pastimes. Itidrik swalila bhir ananda kunde svaghosham nimajjantam akhyapayantam tadiyeshu tagyeshu bhaktair jitatvam punah prematastvam satavrittivan. By such childhood pastimes as this and any other pastime like Chakshusha Manu and the Varahadev, he is drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy and is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence that he is only conquered by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conception of awe and reverence. With great love, I again offer my obeisances to Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. He is Ajita. He is unconquerable. You can't conquer him with your brain substance. As Brahma Samhita says, even if we travel at the speed, Munipungavana, the best of Pungava. Pungava means the best of speculators, the best of philosophers. That powerful intellectual ability of gymnastics. They can't even avichintya tattve. You can't. But how is he conquered? By bhakti, by devotion. Adurlabham atma bhaktav. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav. And therefore, the secret is very simple. He says in the 7th verse. How to, the last verse, how we should accept this pastime? O Lord Damodar, I first of all offer my obeisances to the brilliantly effulgent rope, which binds your belly. I then offer my obeisances to your belly, which is the abode of entire universe. I bow down to the most beloved Srimati Radharani and offer all obeisances to you, the Supreme Lord, who displays unlimited pastimes. Unlimited. It is unlimited. So we simply have to bow down to the pastime. Bow down to the rope, bow down to the belly. Anyone indirectly related to the pastime, simply bow down. Hari bol. That's all. Just appreciate. How wonderful is my Lord. Why can't he do this? He can do this. Brahmaji gives the secret in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can actually conquer the Lord? That the first qualification, he says, Jnane Prayasa Udapasya. The moment we give up our speculative tendency, trying to, with our little tiny brain, trying to understand the pastimes of the Lord, or measure with our understanding, Jnane Prayasa Udapasya, that is the first qualification. Bhaktair Jitatvam, right? We are talking about how to conquer the Lord. He gives 3 things. First is Jnane Prayasa Udapasya. That is the first barrier. trying to understand through our own speculative minds. Second thing he says, namanta eva. We simply offer obeisances. Tanuvang manobhir. We simply offer obeisances to the Lord with our body, with our mind, and with our words. When Arjuna asks Krishna, what are the sign of a self-realized person? He says, dukhe, dukhe sharana digrama sukhe vitara. Yaha sarvatra anabhisneha tattat prapya shubha shubham na abhinandati na dveshti tasya pragya pratishthita. How does he speak? What is the speech? What is the walk? And what is the disposition? And how does he speak? In that Krishna says, what is the content of his speech? The essence of a devotee's speech, a self-realized person's speech is, thank you, my Lord. In any situation, thanking the Lord. Tattenu kampam sushamikshavan punjane vatmakritam hridvag vapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayavak. He's fit for liberation. Thanking the Lord. I know you are the supremely powerful, you are supremely knowledgeable, and you are supremely loving. And therefore, whatever your actually situation that I am put in is personally tailor-made for me, for my purification. Thank you very much. Not questioning, but rather accepting with a grateful heart. Namanta eva. And sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita. In whatever situation we may be placed, hearing regularly from the devotees about the unlimited names, forms, and unlimited qualities of the Lord with faith. Ye prayashah, one who lives like this, ajita jitopi, he can conquer the Lord. He can be understood. The Lord can be understood by such a devotee. The Lord is inconceivable. The Lord is unlimited. Like one time this question was asked, how is it that the limited can ever understand the unlimited? The answer is very simple. If the unlimited cannot make himself understood to the limited, that means he is not unlimited. One of the nature of that unlimited is, he can even make himself understood by the limited. Of course, that understanding is that, my Lord, you are absolutely unlimited. I simply offer my obeisances. So no questioning, but rather relishing. We simply offer our obeisances. So this is the month, Damodar month. We can chant this pastime and pray. This is what actually captures the Lord. The Lord is attracted because the Lord is Atmaram Purnakama. The Lord doesn't need anything from us. So who are we? Who are we to offer him something? Everything is created by him. Everything is maintained by him, including ourselves. And all that we offer is all maintained by him, created by him. He doesn't need anything. We approach him and we serve him because we need so many things. But when a devotee approaches and serves him, and he also doesn't need anything, that captures the Lord. He sold out to such a devotee. That is why Satyavrata Muni is praying here. He says, O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for the boon of impersonal liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boons which may be obtained by executing the nine process of bhakti. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours as Balagopal in Vrindavan may ever be manifest in my heart. For what is the use to me of any other boon besides this? When that is our aspiration, Atma Ramascha Murayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Gunahari. Is only such an Atmaram person is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything. Still, his only need is I need to serve the Lord. And the Lord is captured by that undivided, unalloyed, uninterrupted, pure, loving reciprocation. That is the only, that is the essence of all this beautiful, the essence of all this problem, all these pastimes, is basically to bring us to the point that stop trying to understand with your brain. Understand with your heart. Upanishad is meant to break that rational mind. Tad ejati, tad nejati, tad dure, tad dvantike, tad antarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasya. After, you know, in blood, in physiology, there is a blood-brain barrier. The blood should not enter the brain, so there is a barrier. When that breaks, then hemorrhage is there in the brain also. So there is a barrier to approach the Lord. And that barrier is this speculation barrier. So once that is broken by the Upanishad, then one can enter. Adau Shraddha. Bhakti begins with this faith. Yes. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Sudrida Nishchay. Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma. Hare Krishna. So any questions, comments? Srila Prabhupada ki chai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai. Thy Gaur Premanand. Thank you very much.